Welcome back to Blethers from Mac the Pict. We're delighted to share our second podcast called A Fusion of Summer Fun, where we can find out about lots of different things for the people in the Meagle and Ardler area to be active. Who knew this area had so much to do? It's incredible. COVID's forced us to record in a variety of different places, so please do excuse the birds, flies and any other background noises you might hear. But let's go first to your local active schools coordinator and find out what she's got to tell us. I'd like to welcome our first speaker today, Caroline Laurie, who's the Active Schools Coordinator for the Blairgowrie Cluster. The first thing I'd like to ask you, Caroline, is can you explain what the purpose of Active Schools is for our listeners, what types of activities you organise and for what age groups you deliver?
Hi there. Yeah, Active Schools is a programme which we work with schools and communities to help children keep physically active and stay active throughout their lives. The aim of Active Schools is to offer children and young people the opportunities and motivate them to adopt a kind of a healthy lifestyle now until adulthood. Mm-hmm. We do many different activities, linking in with the clubs, and Blairgowrie area has amazing clubs who come in to deliver activities within the schools. It ranges from football to rugby to tennis to hockey, you name it, we do it.
And that's for primary and secondary school children?
Yes, I work with the primary schools around the Blairgowrie area and I work with the Blairgowrie High School as well. So I've got 10 primaries and one high school to try and do some activities after school and lunchtime clubs.
So Meagle and Ardler are very lucky to have you as their active schools coordinator then. So I know there's been a lot of research about the benefits of taking part in physical activity and sport. Can you describe some of these for our listeners, please?
Yeah, the benefits of physical activity is even just walking your dog to going into higher sports, into clubs, going on to maybe Scottish, Olympic, you name it, people can do it. But physical activity is just low levels just to keep you active, be able to try new sports as well, and basically it gives you skills, good teamwork and great communication. And also you become friendly with other children within mm-hmm. the area, which, you know, is a kind of a good thing.
Yeah, so that's a huge benefit, isn't it? The social aspect of taking part. So from what you're describing there, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money or any money at all, actually, to take part in sport.
Yeah, Active Schools, we try and keep everything completely and utterly free. And we don't charge for anything. And, you know, it's very similar to the virtual orienteering where mm-hmm. if you've got an app, you can go out and do the course. And it's not orienteering. It can be just going out and having a treasure hunt. You can make it your own thing as long as you're kind of getting out there and using your environment. It's always a good thing.
So where's the best place for people to find out about what's going on in the Blairgowrie area?
I have a Twitter account, a Facebook and an Instagram, which I try my best to get as many things in there, what I'm planning, what I'm doing, what is physical activity. I help with the clubs getting out what they're doing within their programmes throughout the year, summer, holiday programmes, all that stuff. But also the schools are very supportive and they actually put it out through the parent email. So without them to get all that information out to parents is... it makes it harder for me, especially with COVID, not able to kind of put some flyers and stuff.
Of course. So in terms of Meagle Primary School then, are there any active schools activities happening there at the moment? Or if there aren't at the moment, how can the people living in the Meagle and Ardler area support you to make that happen?
Well, the past has always been, for Meagle Primary School, has teachers, learning assistants, even volunteers, parents, modern apprentices, have come in and helped to deliver lunchtime and after school clubs, but also some of the sports clubs around, like the tennis club, the rugby club, have come in to mm-hmm. help and deliver, even using the cricket club for these facilities because the school has a small area to use and it can be difficult. We have used Belmont Woods. We've been very eventful within the area to use the facilities, and without the support of the cricket club and the local park, it's hard to do stuff. Volunteering is really easy. If there's anybody out there who is wanting to come in and even take the kids for a walk or start a running club or, you know, just be there to, you know, do a tennis club. Anything, we can cater for everybody's needs if they're thinking about volunteering. It's so easy. You don't have to have many qualifications. If you do want to get into the qualifications side of it, then we're able to help and support you. But we'll do all the risk assessments and registers for it. So basically you can just turn up and we'll supply equipment for it.
Makes it easy.
Absolutely. It's great. So if there's anybody out there thinking about it, contact me. I'm very approachable. You always see me in the red hoodie, as I'm always called.
The red hoodie, yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't just have to be parents. It could be people that are maybe retired and have loads of skills that they could share with the children.
Yep, absolutely. I had a volunteer and he was in his 70s and he helped with a bike club. He said, I just want to volunteer. Can I help by giving out water at the end of it or juice and biscuits? So we catered for that. And it's a lovely story. He came along every day just to hand out the juice and the crisps and the water for the kids. And it was great. Yeah, he was a character.
Yeah, oh, that's nice. So yeah, get in touch with Caroline if you'd like to get involved and support things happening in your own area. So just thinking about the summer holidays, Caroline, have you organised anything for children and young people directly, or where do parents find out about everything that's going on in the Blairgowrie area?
Well, coming soon to the Blairgowrie area is a flyer. We've put together all the clubs within Angus and Blairgowrie area. We've done it in partnership with Angus Alive, where we've put all the clubs' information on this flyer, and it's an interactive flyer which they can click on every link and it will take them directly to the page. That will be coming out very, very soon, and that will be sent through websites on my Twitter, Facebook, Instagram page, but also we're going to get the schools to put it out through the parent information centre. So we wanted to do it to make it easier for parents to see what's within the communities and out with the communities, because there is schools that are kind of cross over the different areas. So why we do it is we just want the kids to be physically active and have fun and take up sport, because sport is good.
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah, so that flyer will have all your stuff and all the club stuff, and of course the Community Development Trust can put this on the Smart Village so that parents can easily find the information. So that's brilliant. I was just going to touch on another question, if you don't mind. You very kindly helped the Trust develop an orienteering course using a fantastic new app as part of their Flame of Fusion project, and we'll talk about that later on in the podcast. But if Caroline could just describe how you came up with this route and how easy it's been for the app to be used, that'd be great. Because it's still valid, isn't it?
Yeah, it's still up there on the Map Run app, which you can download. You can find all the information on the Twitter page, Facebook page, and even the Meagle and Ardler page. All the information is up there on how you can download this app and how to use it. This has been rolled out by Scottish Orienteering, and it's just absolutely amazing, where I am going to be setting up so many different routes within the area. It'll take me a long time to do it, where people can just have this app and they can just walk the streets with their pals, with their friends, bike around the streets with their pals, with their friends, and the app will do everything for you. It'll tell you exactly when you reach the point, it literally just goes ping, and then you go on to the next one, and it can time you your route all the way around it, so you can maybe try and get faster within the route.
Yeah, so you're not competing against anybody else necessarily, you're just challenging yourself.
Yeah, it's for you and your family just to go out and enjoy. Belmont Centre, Woods has been the kind of the area for it. Do you know, it's a nice family activity to do. You just walk with your kids and the kids get really excited that I've seen, and the feedback from it has been really good, where the kids get excited to, oh, where's the next one? Where's the next one? Which is, it's lovely to hear the feedback from it. It's available for absolutely everybody. But again, if people are finding it difficult to set up, I was thinking about maybe doing a family day maybe in the summertime, to go over the app itself if there's interest in this, so you can use it. So
come along on the day, learn how to use the app, and then off the go, or you can go with them. Or
The app is great. It pinpoints exactly where you are on the map, so you basically just don't get lost. There is a wee bit of settings and make sure that's on before you go, but yeah, it's a quite an easy app once you get used to it.
Yeah, so that's fantastic, Caroline. Thanks so much for giving your time today, and good luck with everything that's happening in the summer.
Thank you very much.
So next I'm having a chat with Susan Whiteford. Welcome, Susan. First of all, it would be great to hear about the clubs that you're directly involved with, where they happen and who they're for.
Okay, thank you. It's great to have this opportunity to speak. I'm involved with the tennis club. We're here recording actually at the tennis club, and we've got 5 polymeric tennis courts with floodlights, which were put in 5 years ago, and which means on the whole, they're all weather. We can play all the time, and it's really good that we've got lots of children coming back in this year after not having them last year for COVID, and a lot of adults who've now joined. We've actually this year set off a Tennis Express course, which is for adults who haven't played very much, so had to have 2 of those courses because it was so well filled. And we've also done 2 courses for the LTA Youth, which is for the juniors, where they get a racket, balls, 6 weeks of coaching and a t-shirt to go with it. And they're just coming to the end, but we're going to be offering another 4 weeks to the end of term to keep those ones going. We've also got our regular coaching going, our junior coaching and adult coaching, and we've got the local league starting up. The other leagues haven't really started yet because people are a bit concerned about travelling and doing things like that. But absolutely delighted that we've been able to go, and you know, thanks to the Scottish Government, we were able to keep playing tennis through the last lockdown, which was great for people. You know, singles to start with, but then back into doubles. So it was really good, and we were pleased to be able to do that. Coming into the summer holidays, we've got 2 tennis and activities camps going, one from the 5th to the 9th of July, and another one from the 9th to the 13th of August. We also run camps at Glenarmond, do have buses going from Blairgowrie, on the 19th to the 23rd of July, 26th to the 30th of July, 2nd to the 6th of August. And we go to Glenarmond because the facilities are so fantastic and we get a very good welcome. It's just beautiful being out there. So the children get the opportunity to do hockey, football, rugby, golf, tennis, basketball, badminton, squash, and we do kayaking in the pool. And they all get swimming every day, either at lunchtime or at the end of the day. So it's just nice sort of free time they can actually get. And it's just a really nice time. I think the kids enjoy it. We have the freedom of the area, and I have 6-7 coaches who come out and coach at the same sort of time.
Wow, that sounds like it's a great time to be young and access all of those opportunities. So I know you're involved with hockey as well,
yes,
Susan.
Yes, doing hockey as well, and it's actually the 90th anniversary of the hockey team. It was founded in 1931 and used to play on the other side of the river. They used to play in Davy Park, and then when this ground, the DJ Cooper Park, on just off Cooper Angus Road, was gifted by John Johnson Cooper. The cricket was here, but the hockey were allowed to have the outfield for hockey pitches, and that's where they still are. And we're still waiting for an AstroTurf pitch in Blairgowrie, which hopefully might be on the cards before too long. But hockey we haven't done. We went down to Cooper Angus when we couldn't use any other facility. We trained on their AstroTurf pitch. In the mid of winter, their lights went, so we couldn't carry on with that. So we've had a bit of a difficult time. Although I did take junior teams out on last Sunday to St Andrews, and they did well considering they haven't played for so long. But to celebrate the 90th anniversary, we're hoping to hold a weekend of events. Friday night will be a reception down at our President's House, Sheena McNaughton, and people are welcome to that. And then on the Saturday morning, we're going to have a junior festival here. It'll be on grass. They'll just have to get used to playing that old-type rules and such like. Bring a picnic lunch in the afternoon, old-type games, and keep going. And then in the evening, we're going to have a dinner, hopefully at the golf club, if rules will allow it. If not, we're going to have a late afternoon barbecue down here, so it will be outside. then finish off the evening. We've asked Pauline Stott to come and speak, and local solicitor Steve Cummings is doing the introductions, and he's very much connected with the Midlands Hockey and has been for a number of years. So lots of things going on. And then hopefully after that, we'll get back to playing hockey properly through the winter and back into normal leagues and such like.
Congratulations on that massive anniversary. That's incredible for clubs that depend on volunteers to, be going
And for a small club. You know, we're one of the few rural clubs that are still existing. If you go through to the primary school festival, you go through to each year, they're nearly always coming from the cities. There's no one sort of really rural at all. Yes, it is.
Yeah, well, well done to you for keeping it all going.
Well, yeah, we've got it going. Look, hopefully we've got, but at one point the average age of the team was 40-odd. We've reduced it now. We're down to about 20, late 20s, so that's much better.
Yeah, so you're needing more young people.
We are, yes, yes.
Well, that's a good message to send out. And I believe you're also involved with the Eastern Perthshire Community Sports Hub.
Yes.
And it would be great if you can tell our listeners a bit more about this, because a lot of people might not know or understand quite what it's all about.
Yeah, I got a shop that it's about 15 years, I think it was 2015 actually, 2005, that we actually first started having a meeting with it. And it really is to try and get as many of the clubs together and share just a bit of networking, share out. We've done funding workshops, doing lots of things just to help the local clubs out if they're struggling to get people coming in, see if there's volunteers. But for the last 3 or 4 years, we've done a come and try on the in-service day in February. So we get the local clubs to come and deliver sports through the day to the primary school pupils. So they can sign up, and we have about 50, 60 children signing up for a day's activity at the local recreation centre. And they get 40 minutes of doing football, rugby, tennis, cricket. We've had bowling. The bowling people came down. Caroline Laurie, you've heard from before, came and did curling with us as well. And it's really good. It's a great activity, and the kids really enjoy it. We did try and plan it this year, but with the last lockdown, that just wasn't on. However, this year we are going to be having an Olympics day for the primary schools here at the GJ Cooper Park. We did it 2014 for the Commonwealth Games. We've got money for that, and we will try and put on a day of sport for people, and hopefully we'll get some food and such like with it, and the primary school children get introduced to some new sports and such like. And the other thing that we've just had is that we got funding to run a fitness class for the secondary pupils, which is down at the tennis club on a Monday evening. Not very well attended. We'd love to have some more people, but we felt because the secondary school pupils were not being allowed to do any activity, any running around or anything like that, it was a good opportunity. And so Shari Sidley, a local fitness instructor, has come and done the activities for us, and the ones who've been here have had a great time. We just need to spread the word out and get a few more people going on that.
Yeah, so just touching on your in-service days, is that open to children from across the whole of the Blairgowrie area?
Yes, we get leaflets printed, and a leaflet goes out to every pupil in the school, so they just got to sign up and it comes back, and then we just get and go. Costs £12 for the day.
Brilliant.
And reduced for a second child and such like. So yes, it is.
So it's affordable.
For what they're getting. Very much so. But, and anyone who is actually on income support actually could have it free.
Right. Okay.
So
that's a good message.
It was there for everybody to join in with. And they just got to get up to the recreation centre, I think for 9:30, and finish about 4 o'clock. Bring
a
packed lunch with them.
And the Olympic day, are you planning that for the actual summer holidays?
No, it's going to be the end of August. It's going to be after the Olympics, but it's just going to have an Olympic theme to it. And it'll be a school day, so the children will be able to come up. We're hoping to try and provide buses, get funding for buses, and bring the children in from different schools. The small schools might be able to bring everyone, but we're probably going to be focusing on sort of the primary 3-4s who often don't get as many activities as the older ones. So,
okay, well, that's something for families to look out for. So in terms of other clubs that are part of this community sports hub, you mentioned rugby.
Yes.
There's football.
Yes, the football, Sandy Thompson has done a lot of work with us and such like, and they're trying to get money for an AstroTurf pitch and clubhouse and such like as well. And they've obviously, they've now got all their football teams working together in one group.
Brilliant.
So obviously they can bring quite a lot of experience. The cycling hub used to be part of it. I haven't been able to come recently, but hopefully they'll come back and join us. Cricket has been, swimming as part of it. And I think one of the most important things that we've got on at the moment is that we are members of the user group for the new recreation centre.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, yeah, we'll be able to give our input into what we would like. There was a plan drawn up, which was superb. It's had to be pared back a little bit, but we'll see if we can get the best that we can get for our
Absolutely.
For our area.
That's exciting.
Going onwards and forwards. Yeah.
New facilities are always exciting.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
As you mentioned here, we're at Blair Gowrie Tennis Club and it looks absolutely wonderful. So well done to Susan and her team for making that happen. So thank you very much, Susan.
That's
and good luck with all your clubs and activities, and hopefully some of the children, families listening will sign up.
Yeah, very good. It was super. Nice to hear from them.
Our next speaker is Bob Ellis, who's going to tell us a little bit more about some different activities for families to do over the summer, making use of the Cataran Trail and new activity organised by the Cataran Eco Museum. So first of all, Bob, can you give our listeners an insight into both the Cataran Trail and Eco Museum, because they might not quite understand the difference between them?
Yes, lovely. And thanks for this interview, Caroline. Yeah, the Cataran Trail is a 64-mile circular walk around some of the best countryside in Scotland. I've got to say that because I put the trail together over 20 years ago. It's now in the process of being updated, upgraded in many ways, whether it's on the path maintenance or indeed making it more friendly for cyclists and horse riders in the fact that we're now taking away all the stiles and replacing them with self-closing gates. So that makes it great. We do have one or two cattle grids, mm-hmm. which obviously are not horse friendly, but we're looking at ways to get around that. So the difference between the Cataran Trail and the Eco Museum. An Eco Museum was the brainchild of Claire Cooper, a lovely lady from Aileth. And basically, an eco museum is a museum without walls, mm-hmm. which was first established, I think, in Italy. There are two in Scotland. We are one, and on Skye there is another one. So as I say, the difference is it's a museum without walls, and so there's no real specific boundaries mm-hmm. in an eco museum. But what we've built the eco museum on is the whole of the Cataran Trail, what's inside the Cataran Trail, and probably 4 to 5 miles outside of the Cataran Trail, and brought that all in. Mm-hmm. So it takes in all of the main towns in the Cataran Trail area, which is Blair Gowrie, Bridge Cali, Kirkmichael, Spittle Glen Shee, Curtin of Glen Isla, Aileth, and we've now spread south. We've got Meagol and the Pictish, all the Pictish museums and everything there, and also Cooper Angus with the Cooper Angus Cistercian Abbey. But the Eco Museum itself, it's got so many points of interest in it that it's just a haven for anybody who wants to learn more about the geographical areas, about the history, about the environment. The Cataran Trail was put together with the idea of making it a 5-day walk. But what it is now and what we've got now, you could easily spend a month or more on the Cataran Trail and visiting all the points of interest that are on it. So it's there for everybody to use. And obviously you can go to places, park your car and then go and explore, as I say, the points of interest there. So that's kind of the difference between the Cataran Trail and the Eco Museum itself. And we're in awe, I think as far as the trustees are concerned of the Eco Museum, we're in awe of the things that Claire Cooper comes up with. And if she comes up with an idea, we follow it through, and probably 7 times out of 10 we'll get the funding and we go ahead with it. So it's there for everybody, regardless of their age and their ability.
Sounds excellent, and well done to Claire. And I know there's a website separate for the Eco Museum as well, so yeah. I would encourage everybody to go and have a look and find out more.
Everybody to go, and all you have to do is just log on to Catterin Eco Museum and you'll come up with a whole host of stuff.
Can you just tell us a little bit more about the cycle routes on the Catterin Trail, Bob? Sounds like a real great opportunity for local people to get active, especially with the hot holidays coming up.
We have one of the aspects that we did as far as the Eco Museum was concerned is we engaged with a cyclist, a German cyclist called Markus Stitz, and he's been working along with quite a few of the trustees and other people in the area about putting together various cycle routes which can be done on the road, by mountain bike, and also by a gravel bike. Mm-hmm. And a gravel bike, just for a bit of explanation, a gravel bike is where you can use it on really nice estate roads, which you don't really need a mountain bike for. Now, we've got routes, or Marcus has done routes, 13 in total, 6 of which are new, and 7 which are existing ones. And the existing ones are parts of the Catterin Trail, and also one long one, which is the Grand Fondo Catterin Trail, which takes you on roads, and that is 75 miles long. So that's the longest. We've got one that goes over the Maniga Pass, which is an absolute, it's described as a bike adventure, a world-class mountain bike ride on two ridges with superb surroundings of the southern Cairngorms, because we are in the Cairngorms National Park as well, of course. And then our shortest one is by the local Kitty Swanson's Trail, which you would need a mountain bike for. It's about 9.5 miles long, and it's a very well signposted path which starts and finishes in Blairgowrie. But the other ones, yeah, there's all different manner of cycles. You can go through, for instance, Banff Estate in Aileth, where you've probably got about an 80% chance of seeing beavers, because that's where the beavers started from in this area. You've got Drimmy Woods, which is a nice, enjoyable cycle. You've got Kendrogan Woods, which is circular, and there's lots of nice mountain bike and gravel bike in those woods. So it's, I can't emphasise how much this area has to offer. And of course, I have to say, I'm really, really proud that I started the Catterin Trail, mm-hmm. as I say, over 20 years ago, and it's now come to this, which is European known wide.
Fantastic, Bob. Well, it sounds like there's lots of routes in there for everybody. Am I right in saying if you go online, you can check and see what kind of bike's most suited for each trail?
Yeah, as I say, all you've got to do is log on to Catterin Eco Museum, and from there you will see there'll be a drop-down box and you'll be able to see itineraries for walking, cycling, driving, all the points of interest, which range from Pictish stones to old shealings to a fun place to go to is Loch Beany, which is in Cairngorm National Park and just south of the Spittal of Glenshee. And if you go north of there, you can find an old whiskey still there. And at the side of Loch Beany, again, just for a little bit of interest, there is the Serpent's Stain, which dates way, way, way back to when landowners really ruled the land, and it was said that this witch had come along, taken away the little boy, the landowner's little boy. He chased after her, and with his broadsword, and just as he was about to catch the witch, she turned into a serpent, went into this crack in this big rock with the wee boy, and he brought his broadsword down and just missed the crack, and he created another crack, and it's there to see.
Incredible stories locally. So not only are you getting some physical activity, which is really important, especially coming out of COVID, but you're learning a lot as well.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn, a lot to learn in the area. And it's all there. all the history is there just by, again, logging on to Catterton Eco Museum.
Well, definitely get yourself onto that website. Sounds fascinating. And I believe the Catterton Eco Museum have organised a family cycle this summer, Bob. Is there anything you can share about that?
Yes, it's something that we want to try and get as many people out on these trails and on these nice minor roads that we've got in the area, most of which are walking and cycling friendly, so they've got a 40 mile an hour speed limit on them. The route that I have chosen for the family cycle starts in Ayla Square and it goes down to the main Dundee Road to Meagle. People can then go and visit the Pictish Museum. Through Meagle, you head towards the pretty idyllic little village of Adler. And on the way, you could go and visit Macbeth's Stone, which is in Belmont Estate. And then when you get to Adler, there's the lovely tavern there where you can stop for tea, coffee, a pint, a full meal. From there, you wind your way back up to the main Cooper Angus Forfar Road, the A94. Be careful, obviously, when you're crossing that. And then you go on to another very minor road, what we call the Aberbothry Road. That takes you across an old, old metal bridge over the River Isla. And then from there, you work your way back up to New Aileth, cross over the Aileth Road, and then wind your way back into Aileth Square to the finish. So it's only about an hour and a half to 2 hours, but it is orientated to make sure that families can enjoy it. And as I say, they can look at these points of interest on the way, which is basically what we made this for. Mm-hmm. And also the good thing is it is relatively flat.
And obviously the advantage of this type of loop, people could start anywhere.
They can start, again, it's circular.
Yes.
So they can start and finish wherever they want, which is just the same as the Catterton Trail.
Mm-hmm.
You can start and finish wherever you want and enjoy what's there to be seen.
Just going back to the Catterton Trail a little bit, what's it like underfoot for most of the trail? What kind of shoes do people need to wear?
Well, after the amount of rain we've had in May, I can assure people that they would need a really stout pair of boots and gaiters and possibly waterproof trousers, because it does tend in some places to get muddy and you've just got to go with that. There's no such thing as bad weather in Scotland. It's a bad choice of clothing or footwear. So lots of the trail though is on estate roads, minor roads, whereby, you know, you're fine as far as footwear is concerned and you won't get wet. But there are a couple of places, for instance, between Enochdhu, which is just north of Kirkmichael, to Spittal, where it is boggy in a couple of places, but Perth and Kinross Countryside Trust, who manage the trail, they have contractors out there which are diverting water off the path. This will take a wee bit of time, but as I said earlier, the good thing as well is you can cycle the whole way without any problem at all, and Marcus has done that. And I think it's fair to say, as far as wheelchair access is concerned, a lot of it you would probably get round with a motorised wheelchair. Mm-hmm.
That's really useful to know. So again, just go online, have a look and see which sections you would like to do. Don't have to do it all in the one day, of course. Fantastic opportunity right on our doorstep. Thank you so much, Bob. Hopefully you see lots of people out and about over the summer. Hi, Johnny. Thanks for joining us for this podcast. You're the centre manager at SOEC Belmont, just outside Meagle. Can you tell us a bit more, please, about the centre and who you deliver services to?
Hi, so the centre is it's about 80 years old, 81 years old now, and it was built just before the war. And it was used to sort of house evacuees during the first few years of the war. And then gradually, as the evacuees started going home, we had army soldiers here from Poland, and then eventually in 1947 actually then came back to being an outdoor centre, what it was originally built for. And since then, we've just been working with school groups, and it tends to be the P7 transition to S1 that the kids come in so they can make new friends ready for going up to high school.
Yeah, that's great. Fair bit of history in there, isn't
yes,
there?
Yes, there is, yeah, a lot.
Hopefully some local people can pick up on that too and do a little bit of extra research on that. So in terms of the summer holidays then, do you have any activities planned that people in the community can sign up for?
Yes, so we've got 2 weeks that we're planning to leave open for the local young people. They'll be mid-July. We're still kind of trying to finalise our dates for that. But we will put it up on our Facebook pages and we'll put some posters up and try and get out to the local schools and stuff. So it'll be there. It'll be there somewhere, the adverts for it.
Yeah, so without seeing exactly what you're putting on in the summer, what type of activities would you generally offer?
So we've got lots of activities around the centre, so it's kind of a multi-activity programme, but we will be hoping to get out and do a bit of canoeing and a bit of rock climbing and hill walking as well.
That sounds exciting for people in the area. So if young people do want to take part, do they need to bring anything special with them?
Probably being Scotland, they'd be better bringing a waterproof jacket and some waterproof trousers. Welly boots always work pretty well. But maybe just lunch and some happy smiles.
Happy smiles, that's a nice one to bring along with them, isn't it? And obviously they don't need to bring any equipment or anything
like
that.
No, all the sort of activity-specific equipment we have that we can lend out. And we do have if someone does forget their boots for the day, we do have spares that we can lend as well.
Well, I'm sure parents will be delighted to hear that little bit of news. So if a family wanted to sign their child up, how do they go about that?
So once the advert goes up, it will have an email address and it will direct most people towards our Facebook page. Just send us a message on Facebook and we'll start the booking process from there. It's pretty easy.
And what age groups are invited to come along?
So we're looking to try and have a group of 8 to 11 year olds and 12 to 14 year olds, but depending on how many folk book, it may just be 8 to 14 year olds altogether.
Yeah, so that's fantastic. Thanks very much, Johnny, and we look forward to promoting your centre and certainly get in touch with the Trust and get some information on the Smart Village about the history.
Yes, I will do.
Because that's fascinating. And lots of photographs as well. So
thank you very much. Lots of old photos from sort of through the years, which they're always quite interesting to look at.
Absolutely. Yeah. Some people might recognise themselves, you never know.
Maybe.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Welcome to Ian Stewart from Meagle Cricket Club. I'm very excited to speak to Ian today because I know it is the sports club in the area. Ian, I know you love to talk about the club, so can you please share some history about the Meagle Cricket Club with our listeners, please?
Sure, Caroline. Thanks for having us on. Yeah, we've been going since 1876 here in Meagle. Originally we're in Victory Park at the minute, but up in Belmont Park, just a stone's throw from here. So that was the first ground. And we've played here since the early 1920s, when the archway there, the War Memorial, was put up. So this has been home for a wee while. I believe they still played on at Belmont for a couple of decades after that, I think maybe into the 1950s, actually. But no, Victory Park is very much home, and we've got our lovely little descending slope here and a little heat trap as well. So got here in front of us, just taking this off the wall, the 1929 fixture card, which was the first year of the Strathmore Union, which is the league we've played in until 2019. Every year we were the only club never to have been out of the top flight of that league, and we're out of it for a good reason. We got promoted to the Cricket Scotland Eastern Premier League rather than getting relegated. Although we were close to that a couple of times, I can assure you, at times. And it's 1929, so the Strathmore Union being the league from the Midlands of Scotland right up to Aberdeenshire. So we've played at that, a good and decent level for a long time. But now we've gone from, as I say, up in Belmont in the 1870s to to here we are now in our first team in the top flight in Scottish club cricket. So very, very exciting times for the club just now.
Definitely, and looking at your Victory Park here, it looks glorious and with the sun shining down on it.
We picked
lovely.
A great day. We've been here 10 days ago. I don't think so. I think there was hailstones then, but yeah, no, it's an amazing day today.
It looks lovely and some fascinating history and stood the test of time, which is wonderful to hear. So can you describe the different sessions that local people can get involved with if they're interested in cricket?
Yeah, well, we're basically a 7 day a week operation these days. We've come a long way over the last sort of 10 years. We've got a long pedigree, but I think it'd be fair to say maybe 10 years ago we were just getting our second team out. But through the hard work of some really good people, we always did that, which I think was really important, kept us going. But we've really put a lot of time into our junior section. So you can come on a Monday night if you're a hardball young cricketer, 12 up, teenage years, get in the nets, get well coached. We've got level 1, 2 and 3 coaches here, and that's a Monday night. Tuesday night is a bit more intense. That's first team squad. That's not for the faint-hearted. You'll see them put through their paces and what have you. But Wednesday night is I think, one of the best nights of the week. If you're past here, just after tea time on a Wednesday, the quick cricketers. So that's where you start off. So that's plastic bats and sort of squidgy orange balls. So not a hard ball in sight. No need to wear a helmet. And we've got lots of girls and boys at that. And then a Thursday night is more of an open to any men, women who want to play adult cricket. So that's quite a broad church. So we've a first team, a second team, a third team, and we've now got Andrew, who runs that team, is calling the Wednesday Whackers. So that's a very sociable team. So that would be almost ideal for adult beginners. So if anyone's out there thinking of being cooped up in the house for a year and doing the same walk around the village or the area for a wee while, honestly, we could get them up to speed on that very, very quickly. It's a very sociable midweek format of the game. It's over very quickly. Cricket sometimes is known for taking a long time. So our league games do, but at the weekend, but it's 8-a-side and it's done in about 2 and a bit hours, not very long at all. So that's a kind of recreational version of the game. So, and then a Friday night, you'll quite often find that we'll have, you might not always see the ground busy because they might be away from home, but one of the junior teams, so under 15s, under 17s sort of thing, or the quick cricketers even. So it's always really exciting when they start to get playing. And then the weekends are busy. We haven't, although we've got a lot of girls here and we have for a while, we've not quite got over the line with the women's team. We've got close a couple of times in the last, 5-6 years. It's not quite happened. But the weekends are busy. We've got first 11, as I was saying earlier on the Saturday. It's a lot of hard work still ahead to stay there, but we've got to the Cricket Scotland East Premier League, so top level in the country. The second team still playing the Strathmore Union, or Strathmore and Perthshire Union, it's known now, that we've played in for a long time. So they're in Division 2 of that and have started pretty well. So well, may that continue, their 100% record so far. And then the third 11 playing what's called the R&D League, Recreational and Development. So as the name suggests, it's maybe a wee bit above the Wednesday Whackers, but not by much. It's, bring the youngsters through, let the old boys tell us how good they were before they pack it in. It never rained and they never dropped a catch, they never got a duck. So it's the Sunday team, and a really important team, because that's, as I say, when you're coming out of quick cricket and sort of junior hardball, that's great. But once you get that confidence, I think the sooner you get into adult cricket, the better. So, it's very, very inclusive. And we've had girls, women's players playing that as well at times over the years. And as I say, that's something we're wanting to... We want to be a club for the whole village, for the whole area, all of East Perthshire. And that goes for girls, boys, men's, women, disabled members, what have you. So, it is a 7-day-a-week operation. And, from 6 o'clock, basically, every night of the week, there's training or a game on here. And the weekends, similarly, almost always be a game on. So great place to come, walk the dog, have a picnic, have a barbecue. With COVID, obviously, certain things are not as encouraged at the moment. No. But when things get back to normal and the new normal, then, we'll hope to see the village and community really turn out more and more and encouraging us. Because it's great to be out in the middle and seeing familiar, friendly faces cheering you on. It gives you... In a long hot day like this, if the batters are on top, you remember what you're playing for. You're playing for your village and your community. Yes. So it's great to see when folk come out and encourage us.
Yeah, what a breadth of opportunity for people living in the area. Sounds fantastic. And hopefully people listening to this will maybe pick up the phone or send an email and get involved. Sounds amazing. So what about the summer holidays then, Ian? Does the club have any activities planned, and how do people sign up to that?
Well, hopefully we'll live active. We'll hopefully be running for the kids a holiday camp. So don't have confirmed details on that, but that'll hopefully come out soon if we're doing that. So that's Richard Rennie's our live active cricket development officer based in Perth. So he generally runs that, and we have club coaches in that as well, but he's a good coach himself, which is great with the kids. And again, Scott Cameron as well, who's a Scotland international, who coaches for him. So that's always exciting for the kids to have a Scotland player. We've had a few of our own over the years here at Meagle, but you know, it's great to have a lad from along the road in doing that. 17th of July, we've got the charity shop booked in Lagowrie in the old furniture showroom up at House. And yeah, that's a really important fundraiser for the club. Generally, obviously last year COVID claimed that, but hopefully this year we'll clear out our closets and, you know, I'll get the Armani shirts out and the Gucci shoes and Louis Vuitton hand luggage, and we'll put that in and we'll see what we can raise, because that can bring in some really useful money. It's good fun for the club members who volunteer their time, but yes, you know, it's important money. You know, you see when you look around, everything costs. You know, you're always putting diesel in your petrol in your lawnmower, your roller, the screens, the covers. There's all sorts of things people wouldn't imagine that you need to run a cricket club and keep the place looking nice and someplace. And we take a lot of pride in it, and we want the village community to do that as well. So that's an important week. So if you can get in that week, as you say, 17th of July, that'd be great to see folk.
Definitely. So just around that club development aspect then, you obviously offer so much activity and you'll be highly dependent on volunteers, I would imagine, like most sports clubs. So what can local people do, you know, to help that continue to grow and thrive?
Well, if folk, obviously we don't turn away volunteers, like any sports club, as you say. Get the PVG check done, obviously, is what you have to do. After that, it's, you know, you'd be getting stuck in. Be it there's a very basic sort of coaching qualification you can do, you know, just a very short time commitment, and it's just basically, you know, fun warm up and a few activities. And we've instilled in our junior coaches some good drills and skills, so there's good knowledge there, so people would get lots of support. So if your kids have got into this great game and you like the sound of them being occupied for hours on end, as my mother certainly was, very pleased that I got into cricket, she always knew where I was.
Yes.
I think you know, we can facilitate that very easily. So, I mean, that's obviously a big part is your coaching workforce, and nice to have more hands helping with that. And you don't need a lot of knowledge to do the initial stuff. You know, it's throwing a ball, catching a ball, hitting a ball. Bowling's slightly technical, but not terribly much, and it's been, you know, fun and organising enough to keep them all under control, but having a good time. But yeah, there's other things around the club that we're always interested to hear from people. Something we want to do pretty soon is, you know, leaflet the village. We've got the new houses here as well, so if you're a dab hand amateur or a professional graphic designer and you want to do something good for the village, things like that. Or it's usually like any sports club, usually the same folk that will apply for the grants and do those sorts of things. So
yes,
anyone's good at those things, always give us a shout. But yeah, we've got a really good committee at the moment, but fresh blood is always welcome. We see ourselves as very open and inclusive, and I think that is a challenge, is making sure we get that message out there, because we can think that, people don't feel that, and just see a bunch of guys and girls playing in white, or we sometimes play our colour kit, or black and gold pyjamas. If people just see that and just wander by, it's just a place to walk the dog and go past, then we're not as relevant as we want to be. So yeah, we're trying to develop the club in that way, that we're really still a big part of the village life and community, and we're playing it. I don't think there's a club around here probably playing at that level. You know, if you look at football or rugby or whatever, that's no disrespect, those clubs, great, all these community clubs, I know how hard they work to keep going, it's terrific. But you know, we are at a very, very high level. If you come and watch the Premier League games here, you'll see some serious players. Almost all the Scotland team will play at Victory Park this summer at some point or other. So serious stuff. So yeah, we just want to keep developing and keep everyone proud of the club. You know, we're proud to represent the village and the area, and we want folk to feel the same. We're playing for them as well, you know, and when folk think Meagle, what do they think of? Probably do think cricket and berries and things like that. So good, we can do our bit. And yeah, we've just got to keep improving. What's the next thing? What's the next thing we can get? You know, what do we need to invest in? What do we need to fundraise for? What do we need to get a grant for? Because there's certainly folk that have come to the ground lately that haven't been here in a while and just go, wow, you know, you're really improving it. And that can't stop. Yeah,
yeah,
we've got to
great.
Keep the momentum. So anyone who wants to be part of keeping the momentum going, please do give us a shout. We've got a contact form on the website, and you know, it'll come through to like some myself or other folk on the committee, and we will make you feel very welcome. And
well, I suppose my question would be, why would you not want to be part of Meath Cricket Club? So get involved and get in touch and help the club out and play, fundraise, lots of things to do. So thank you so much, Ian, and good luck with the season ahead.
Thank you, Caroline. Thank you.
Last but certainly not least, we have Vanda McGregor, who is working with the Development Trust on a fantastic new initiative called Flame of Fusion. Welcome, Vanda. Can you tell us a bit more about this initiative in general, please?
Hi, Caroline. Yeah, I certainly can. Flame of Fusion was initially a winter lockdown project, and the focus was on community spirit and support through these difficult times. It's about trying to pull together the community by getting involved in activities for all ages and abilities and celebrating the beautiful place where we live. There is a strong focus on mental health because of the impact that coronavirus has had, and it is important now more than ever to look after each other and to be connected. The spearhead of the project for Flame of Fusion is to reproduce a film similar to the film that was made in 1971 that can be accessed on the Smart Village. Part of that is to gather stories from residents of Meikle and Ardler, especially those who were born and bred here and those who have lived here for a long time, because otherwise these stories get lost.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that we're going to do to use as part of the film is a community poem, which begins with the school. So the school are going to be taking part in a poem. The other part of that is that the school are going to be involved and writing a community poem about where they come from and things about Ardler and Meikle that they like, and things about lockdown that were positive mm-hmm. and negative. And we're hoping to cascade that out to the wider community so that everybody gets involved with that.
Sounds like a great way to connect people and get them involved, isn't it? You know, we often hear those messages about physical activity and mental health. What would you say to our listeners in terms of being active in their mental health in the Meikle and Ardler area?
I mean, obviously, one of the main benefits for mental health is physical activity, even if it's just getting outside into the fresh air. And the area that we live in, I mean, we need to celebrate this area. There's so much that we can do. There's all the walks that we can do that mm-hmm. link up all the different places. You know, get out in nature. You know, there's still the orienteering route that you can do, which I went out and did, and it's really, really great fun.
Excellent. So do the Trust have any specific activities that the Flame of Fusion team, I know there's more than yourself, have organised for the summer holidays? And if so, how do people get involved with that?
Well, at the minute we're looking at, obviously, the main thing is completing the film. That's very, very important that we take that forward and get that complete. So we're in the process of thinking of different ideas. The first one that obviously is being taken forward is the community poem with the school, and other activities will be, once we've decided on them, they will be advertised on the Trust Facebook page. Yeah, so if people look out for that, activities will be advertised there.
Okay, so keep an eye on the Facebook page, Twitter and your Smart Village.
Yeah.
Essentially for what's coming up. I have seen the 1971 video myself and I thought it was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to see what you come up with for the new video. I'm sure it'll be fantastic. So thank you so much, Vanda, and to the Trust for pulling all of the information in this podcast together. And you can find information about everything we've talked about today on the Meikle and Ardler Smart Village at meikleardler.smartvillage.scot/podcast. It's going to be an exciting summer. Have a great one, everybody.